It's a pleasure again just to be with you. It's always a pleasure to come back to Newcomnock. Now, we want to read from the scriptures, of course, and we're going to read again just about one of the incidents relative to the life and service of the Lord Jesus when he was here. We're going to read just a few verses from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 8. Just the first few verses of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 then in verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, that is the Lord Jesus, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Just these four verses, and we look to the Lord just to bless especially the verses that we've read together. Now, I want to speak to you just about this particular miracle. It must be very, very important, of course, because it's the first miracle that Matthew, in his Gospel, records that the Lord Jesus performed when he was here. So it must be very, very important for Matthew to give it first place priority in his Gospel. But I was thinking about miracles and asking myself the question just earlier on this week, why did in fact the Lord Jesus perform miracles when he was here? Well, I think that we can see that in the first instance there were simply acts of kindness, acts of compassion, acts of sympathy. He'd come from heaven's glory, he'd come down to earth, and he met men and women in tremendous need, and his heart was touched. And I think that we can see from that the Lord Jesus had an interest in individual people and had an interest in their needs. And I suppose that this evening just underlines for us the significance that we are. We are significant. I know that many in the community here might think that we're insignificant. We might have other ideas or other thoughts about ourselves. But I think that we can see from these verses and from the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed when he was here, that he considered human beings to be tremendously significant. And that's a great encouragement to us this evening, because not only lepers and those that the Saviour healed, but us, today, we're significant. And we mean something to him. And we remind ourselves this evening that it was because of us that he came from heaven's glory and he came to earth. And he died upon the cross at Calvary. But I think that in the first instance, we can see that these were acts of kindness. And then secondly, I think that as we think of the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed when he was here, they were such that they authenticated who he really was. He was God manifest in flesh. He was God come, having taken a human body, and he lived amongst men. And he could do things that only God could do. No human person could do what he did. And when the Saviour performed these miracles, he was really authenticating the claims that he made concerning himself. And that's very important for us to understand and to realise this evening. We're not talking about another man. We're not talking about a great man. We're not talking about the best man that ever lived on the planet Earth. But we're talking about the Son of God, who came from heaven's glory. And he came into time, and he stood where other men stood. And we can see that from the miracles that he performed, that he really authenticated who he really was. And that's important for us to understand this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ was God come in flesh. But I think that, thirdly, they were really pictures, they were sermons, if you like, that the Lord Jesus preached in picture form. And in these pictures, these sermons, these sermon pictures that we've read about this evening, he was really underlining for us the human heart and the human condition and how men and women were in the presence of God. And it's that kind of way that I want to think about it this evening. I want us to understand that we're important to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, he said this: "What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Men and women are significant. They're immensely important. And when we think of the wealth of the world, when we think of the corridors of power, when we think of all the influences that are brought to bear upon this world, and we think of all these and bring them together, and we weigh these beside, on the other side of the balance, a human soul, what will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we're important this evening. But we want to think about this leper just for 20 minutes or so and think about him and his leprosy and his cleansing. I think that that's important for us to understand. It's that the Lord Jesus doesn't speak about this man being healed. The Word of God doesn't speak about him being healed. The Word of God speaks about this man as being cleansed because his leprosy defiled him and he needed cleansing. Now, we want to think just briefly about leprosy. And what we have to say this evening, I know that there's no lepers here. I think we can be safe. We can safely conclude that this evening, that in the hall here at Bridge End Hall, New Cumnock, there's not a leper here. But I think that leprosy signifies and brings before us something that really marks every one of us. And it is a picture of the sinfulness of the human heart. And the human heart in the presence of God, our sinfulness before God, and our need for cleansing from God. So, as we think of leprosy, we remember that leprosy wasn't only skin deep. It was deeper than the skin. And as we think about that, and we think about sin, and we think about our sinfulness in the presence of God, we understand that sin is not only skin deep, but it's deeper than that. And it's a matter that affects the heart. It's a matter that affects the mind. And it's a matter that defiles a whole person. So we can see that, say, sin, like leprosy, is deeper than the skin. Leprosy had small beginnings. Very, very small beginnings. We know that, don't we? And when a man was pronounced to be a leper, it wasn't that there was a great, obvious manifestation of the disease that he had contracted in his person. But it had very, very small beginnings. But inexorably, and as the days and the weeks and the years passed, as month came and month got, we can see that leprosy, it began to spread through the body. And I don't know where it first manifested, the first showed itself, but there were other areas, until it had infected the whole body. And we can see that that's a picture of our sinfulness as well. Sin has small beginnings. When we think of the children, and we think of the little foibles that mark children, the little inconsistencies. But we can see that as they grow older, and as they mature into manhood, we can see that sin spreads, and it infects the whole person. And indeed, Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, gives us a picture from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. And he speaks about wounds and bruises and suppurating sores. And he thinks of the whole person. And he's thinking of the sinfulness of the people that he's addressing. And he thinks of the head, and he thinks about the mind, and he thinks about the eyes, and he thinks about the tongue, and the hands, and the feet, the entire body. You see, sin It has small beginnings, but it spreads through the entire person. And that's how Isaiah described that person that he was speaking about in the first chapter of his prophecy. And we need to understand that as well, that every facet of each of our lives has been infected by sin. The Bible says that all have sinned. There is none righteous. Every one of us have sinned against God, and that in every aspect of our lives. We know that we think things that we shouldn't say, that we shouldn't. We know that we say things that we shouldn't. We know that we do things that we ought not to do. We know that we go to places. There are a multitude of things. And every member of our body has been used in sin slavery, in the expression of sin. That deep-rooted principle within each of our hearts, just as a leper, it was deeper than the skin. It spread through his whole person. And as we think of us, it's a picture of us, and the very best of us, a picture of us, and the presence of God, and our sinfulness. What an awful picture Isaiah painted as he spoke to these people. But we can see as well that it not only is deeper than the skin, and that it spreads. And we've referred to this. We know that sin defiles. It makes us unclean. It makes us dirty. It makes us foul. Not only in the presence of God, but sometimes in the presence of each other. And sometimes we're ashamed. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Sometimes we're red. Our necks are red. When we think of some of the things that we've done and said, and some of the places that we've gone, and we know that sin, it defiles, it makes us dirty. And that's true more so in the presence of God, a holy God. And as we stand in his presence, and as we think of all that we are in ourselves, there is that feeling of defilement. And we long to be clean. And we long to be made right with God. We long for our sins to be removed. And more than that, of course, leprosy and sin does this. Leprosy isolates. Well, it did at least in these days. You see, a man that was pronounced to be a leper, he couldn't any longer live with his family. He had to leave them behind. He had to go and live alone in a desert place, in a leper colony, if you like. And he had no further access to his family. He couldn't freely come to town. He couldn't visit the supermarket or its equivalent in its day. He couldn't come to church. He couldn't come to the temple to worship God. Because he was a leper, he was isolated from the community. He couldn't gain access into the presence of God. He was a leper and he must remain at a distance. You see, leprosy isolated men. And I think, well, we know that leprosy, and we know that it's a picture of the sinful human heart, the human condition. And we know that sin isolates. We know that sin isolates families. We know that sin isolates people from the communities in which they live. But sadly, we know that eternally, sin, if unforgiven, if undealt with here in time, will isolate men eternally from God. And rather than knowing the joy and blessedness of the presence of Christ for eternity, a sinner who dies without the Saviour will be isolated eternally from God. And finally, when we think about leprosy, we discover that apart from divine intervention, leprosy was incurable in the Bible days. I know that it can be controlled in 2004. And I know that the medicines have been developed that can control, if not cure, leprosy. But in these days, as we read through the Old Testament scriptures and the early Gospels, we understand that leprosy was absolutely incurable. There was no physician on earth that could treat it. They couldn't cure it. And only God could intervene to cure and to cleanse the leper. And how like sin this evening. No human person, no human hand, no human word can remove the guilt and the stain of sin from the human heart. No human person can give peace to the sinner. To remove, there must be a divine intervention. And thank God this evening, there has been an intervention. And God's eternal Son has come from heaven's glory down to this world. And he gave himself as a sacrifice for sin, so that sinners might be forgiven and receive the forgiveness of sins. There has been a divine intervention when he himself came down and died upon the cross at Calvary. Just very, very briefly, as we think about this man, we've been thinking about his condition. He was a leper, and that was real. He knew it. You didn't need to convince that man that he was a leper. He had the evidence of it on his body, his limbs. In one of the other Gospels, we discover that it was advanced leprosy. He was full of leprosy. I don't know whether he'd had it for years, but it had spread, it had infected, it had invaded almost every part of his body, and it was full of leprosy. His condition was real, and so is yours. You're a sinner, and you know it, and you bear the marks of it in your body. You know it in your mind, your tongue. We're thinking about this man's condition, and it was real. We know as well, when we think about it, well, he knew at least that it was serious. He probably knew that he hadn't much longer to live. You see, this man had lived amongst lepers. He knew the course of leprosy. He had watched others. He had lived with them. He had grown old amongst them. And he had watched the advance of the disease in their bodies. And one of these days, he knew, like them in the past, that time would be gone and eternity would become, and that he would pass from time into eternity. You didn't need to convince this man that it was real and that it was serious. And I trust that we understand that we, too, are sinners. And the situation is dire, it's serious. And we need to be like this man. Let me speak just briefly about the concern that he had. Well, you say he would be concerned. Well, I've no doubt that that was true physically. He knew that his time was short and he was deeply concerned. And he'd heard about Jesus of Nazareth. And maybe he'd heard about other lepers that had been cleansed and other people that had been healed. Maybe he'd heard about the miracles that the Saviour had performed in other days and in other cities and in other people. And he was deeply concerned about his own need, because time was running out. Time's running out for us all. We're not here for... We were thinking about that in the prayer meeting. There's none of us here forever. We need to get this matter settled, the matter of our sin. We need it to be settled now. And this man was deeply concerned about it. He wasn't indifferent. But you noticed, I trust that you're concerned, but you noticed what this man's concern did. It brought him to the Saviour. He had another concern, of course, when he did come to the Saviour. I think that he had heard about other lepers that had been cleansed and healed. And I don't know whether there were those that in his leper colony had come to Christ and he'd healed them and he knew about them. But somehow I really feel that he'd heard about the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had to heal lepers. And he came to Christ, but he had a concern. He said, Lord, if you're willing. I know you can do it. I've heard that you've done it to others. I've known some who have known the touch of your power, and their lives have been changed, and they're cleansed, they're healed. He says, I know that you can do it, but I don't know whether you're willing to do it to me. Or you've done it to them, and they have received the benefit of your healing power. And he was concerned. He wondered if the Saviour would express compassion and love and tenderness, kindness to him as he had done to others. I want to assure you that he is, and that he's willing not only to cleanse lepers, but to cleanse sinners. He's not only willing to make a man whole and to heal him, but he's prepared to save a soul and to take their sins away, and to give them a new life within, and to give them the assurance of a home in heaven with himself for all eternity. Or you know that he's done it for, there are people sitting here and he's done it for them, and you know it. They've been saved, they've been cleansed, they've been forgiven. They've received new life, they're going to heaven, and they know it, and they enjoy it. And Christ has blessed them with his salvation. You know that he can do it. He's done it to others. You know them. But is he prepared to bless you? Is he prepared to save you? My friend, he is. That's why he came from heaven's glory. He came and he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah says in chapter 53, he was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he came. And we want to encourage you this evening, not only to be conscious that you're a sinner, not only to be concerned about the fact that your sin will eternally separate you from God if you die unforgiven, but we want to encourage you to come to Christ that sin might be forgiven, and that you might receive eternal life, cleansing through faith in Jesus Christ. Come to the Saviour. Make no delay. He's with us today. And he's prepared to save you, to cleanse you, to bless you, and to give you eternal life. So he came to the Saviour. Have you come to Christ? Have you come for salvation? This man did. With that, a word that he spoke. You noticed how the Saviour responded. He didn't chase him away. He didn't look down on him. He didn't speak sharply, unkindly. He wouldn't do that. Not to a sinner, a seeking sinner. You notice what he did. He responded immediately. His word. And Jesus put forth his hand, verse 3, and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. The word of Christ. And the touch of Christ. And you notice the change that was immediate, didn't you? It says there, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He didn't send him to the surgery. And the surgery didn't arrange for him to go down and see the specialist at Cross House. And then they would run a few exploratory investigations into his case, and they would decide the best treatment and the circumstances, and then they would arrange for the nothing like that. And when we think of God's salvation and the forgiveness of sins, it's instant. It's in a moment of time. When a sinner comes to Christ and claims him as Saviour, in a moment of time, when he comes to Christ, he's cleansed, made new, made fit for heaven. Doesn't send him away and give him a few details and commandments to keep and do your best. And no, he speaks the word of forgiveness. immediately he comes. And tonight, if you're prepared to come to Christ, and if you're prepared to confess your sinfulness and your weakness and uncleanness in his presence, thank God, praise God tonight that he's prepared to forgive you in a moment of time. No need to wait. He'll do it now. Remember, I always illustrate this with the dying thief at Calvary. He addressed the Saviour, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What did the Saviour say? That man had really said that, we're sinners, we have broken the law. We've been apprehended, we've been tried, we've been found guilty, we've been sentenced to death, we've been crucified, we hang here for our own crimes. We deserve to die. We receive just punishment for the crimes that we have committed. You see, he was confessing that he was a sinner and that he deserved to die. But he looked at Christ, he looked at the Saviour, and he said, "He's different. He's not here because of his crimes or his sin. He didn't have any. He was sinless. But he was there that he might die for our sins." And that man said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That man had no time to work for salvation. He couldn't earn it. At the very most, he had 2-3 hours conscious life left in this world. And soon he would be launched out of time into eternity. And he appealed to the Saviour for forgiveness, salvation, a place in his coming kingdom and glory. He hadn't time to work for salvation. The Saviour said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That very day, he trusted Christ, and he had the assurance that he would be in heaven with the Saviour. I want to tell you, if you're prepared to come to Christ tonight and to receive him as your Saviour, he's prepared to give you the assurance, the certain, sure hope of eternal life in heaven with himself. But you'll need to come as a sinner. You'll need to confess that you're a sinner. You'll need to tell him that you can't save yourself. There's not. You're entirely infected with sin. There's nothing that these hands can do. There's nothing that this mind can do to earn God's salvation. The whole body is infected by sin, and everything that we touch is defiled, and everything that we do is defiled. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's salvation. But tonight, if we're prepared to confess our weakness and our sinfulness and claim Christ as our Saviour, then like this leper who came to Christ and received cleansing, that you too can know cleansing, salvation, and can be made fit for heaven. Are you fit for heaven? If you were to die, the dying thief, maybe 2 conscious hours left in this world. How many hours have you got in this world? How long will you be here? Turn to Christ and come to him and receive him tonight as your Saviour, and know the joy of sins forgiven and the assurance of a home with him in heaven for all eternity. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank thee again for thy precious word, and we do thank thee for the encouragement and the blessing that it brings to us as we read it. We ask thee that as we have read it and commented upon it, thought about it, spoken about it, we ask, O God, that thou would bless us, each one of us. We're sitting here in thy presence, and we're all significant and important to thee. And eternity is coming, and time will soon be gone, and we cry to thee, our God, that each one of us might know the joy, the assurance that we belong to thee, that we're saved and forgiven and cleansed and fit for heaven. We ask thee to bless thy word and to open our minds to understand the message of salvation. We give thanks as we seek a parting blessing in the Saviour's name.